When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive innit, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome, once again, you know how we do, Tom Davis, Romesh Ranganathan on the Wolf and Out podcast.
I feel like I haven't done it for a while.
You haven't done the how.
The how. Good. You want to do your little? Oh, wow, that was good. You've been practicing.
I have actually. Sort of sometimes
I just had this really weird vision, right, of you at a dogging site, sat in a tree, just like hooting like an owl.
What would you do if you drove past? Not so much now, but like, you know, I know you're not. I know your dogging days are behind you, but there's still something. there is still something intriguing about a dogging site, isn't there? Do you not think?
Yeah. Do you know, it's one of those things, right? As soon as it was sort of like people started talking about dogging, there were so many places. I reckon so many businesses went under where people were like turning around going, oh, yeah, no, don't go down there. That's a dogging site. Like loads of burger vans that sort of in lay-bys. Oh, it's really quiet now. Yeah. Word's been put around that this is sort of a place where doggers have something to eat before they go dogging.
I know, but that, there's an argument that like a burger van near a dog, I mean, if you knew there was like a well-populated dogging site, you might think about taking your van down there. Do you know what I mean? Because
of course you would.
Yeah, after a little bout of seagulling, you sort of quite fancy some carbs. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I bet you'd make an absolute killing, wouldn't you? And also, doggers by nature they're all COVID deniers, so that's the one place. If you've got a small little business like a burger van, they would definitely.
I mean, there you go. What you've just said there, in a nutshell, is why. You know, why you can't really trust deniers, can you? Because it just so happens that doggers are COVID deniers because COVID denial helps them carry on with their hobby. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And therein lies the kind of the key to all these people who fucking deny the existence of COVID, deny all the measures, because it happens to inconvenience them. Do you know what I mean?
There's a guy that I know, and I'm really... I've known him since school, and he's sort of, I worked with him like on the sites for a long time, and it's becoming very hard to still be his friend because he's such a denier.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, he's got some attributes of quite as a person. I'm sort of like, you know, I've known him a long time. We've shared holidays, whatever. But, you know, he's slowly sort of like, what is really, really ironic, right, is he has spent the whole time denying COVID, social distancing, wearing a mask, and slowly but surely, everyone of our friendship group is slowly socially distancing from him. Everyone is does no one even use this group anymore? Like, no one's got the heart to say, and there's another group which, yeah. Like, we all got tired of you putting up fucking articles by some fucking nutter in America.
Yeah, it's the same, same name of group, but in brackets after it says without tinfoil. do you know the thing that annoys me about COVID denials, because I've had a bit of this recently, right? Where, like, you know, when I told you about when I did that video or whatever, is if you're a COVID denier, okay, that's one thing, okay? You've decided that you think that everybody else is swallowed government propaganda or whatever you want to believe. The thing that annoys me is COVID deniers who get angry and sort of take the piss or mock people who actually believe in it, right? Who actually have looked at the evidence and believed in it. And look, I've had a couple of things where people have messaged me where I did a photo of me after I took the vaccine and I was in that video and people have said to me, oh, you're propagating government propaganda. I'll never engage with you again. Can I just say here on the podcast, if you're a COVID denier who thinks that people have swallowed government propaganda and it angers you that people are taking the vaccine, please do not engage with any of my... I would love you to deselect yourself from engaging with anything I do. I do not want you enjoying my comedy. I do not want you watching any of my shows. I do not want you listening to this podcast. If you are currently listening to The Wolf Now and you are an angry COVID denier, fuck the fuck off. Okay, go listen to something else, you fucking piece of shit. Anyway, I just wanted to get that off my chest. Because it's only because, look, if you're a COVID denier, you're a COVID denier. I respect people's got difference of opinion.
Hey, mate,
it's just this attack on people.
Mate, that's the crux of everything, isn't it? And you know what it is? It's like, you know when you like watch, when I watched It's a Sin, and it's like I don't know if you watched it, I thought it was an incredible bit of television. It was, you know, and it was sort of like eye-opening to see what, you know, what AIDS was like at the time and how people dealt with that. And it was sort of like people was like, oh, it's someone else's problem. It's not our problem. Do you know what I mean? You know, that's this disease, but we can't get it. That's this virus. We can't get it. But that's all played out in fear. That's all that the emotion and the sort of thing you feel straight away is fear. And I think that's the same thing with COVID denying. Is if something's not true, if something's fictional, you can't, do you know what I mean? It can't hurt you. You know, and look, I mean, fucking hell. Sadly, you know, I know three people who've lost loved ones from COVID. So you're sort of like, what do you think genuinely that this is just a big practical joke that's been played on a bunch of wankers?
I honestly think you've hit the nail on the head, bro. Because it's like that thing of you believe what is most convenient to believe or what is most comforting to believe, right? It's the same thing where, like, if you miss out on a job or you don't get something that you really wanted to go for, you are more inclined to believe that there is some sort of there's a conspiracy or there's some sort of issue that has meant that you haven't got that job, because that's the easier thing to believe than it is that you weren't the best candidate for that thing, right? It's the same thing with this. It's like, what is easier to believe? That there is a global pandemic, that there is a disease that is so rapidly spreadable that we have to stay inside, or you believe that actually we could be living our lives normally and this is a load of bullshit. Of course, that's what you'd want to believe.
But who wins?
Yeah,
who
I know.
It's always being inside.
That's what I mean. It's like, what? You know when people go, well, it's government control. Do you not think the government are controlling us already? We all go to work for most of our working week. We go on holiday when we're allowed to. We have to apply for passports. We're subject to the laws of the country. How much more fucking control do you think they need? We're already fucking under government control. What are you talking about?
But with the fear thing, you know the fear thing. This is where I think it's like really apt as well, right? It's like horror movies, right? The scariest horror movies are always the ones that could actually happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The ones that there's an air of like, oh shit, that could actually... Like, as bizarre as it sounds, like Saw, there could be a lunatic that does something like, you know, so it makes that little bit, someone getting stuck in, you know, the one where they'll get stuck in a cave, whatever, that one in the water with the sharks, when they all get caught.
What's it called? I know what you're talking
about. Deep Blue? No.
Open Water. Is it Open Water?
Open Water, yeah. Which is, I think, the most terrifying of them all, because you're just, yeah. So that they're scarier, because it could happen. Like Freddy Krueger. You know, you watch and sort of go, oh, that's never going to happen.
No.
Yeah. It's not, well, hopefully not, anyway. I don't want to, that is, like, I'm saying that.
You'd never, if it does happen. Know, how could he be, you know, he's never going to be wearing a fedora, is he? If that happens.
Mate, you know that a fedora can look sick.
I do.
Go back to episode one, guys.
I used to love Nightmare on Elm Street, but the reason I loved it is because I didn't find it that scary, and it made you feel hard in front of your mates that you didn't find it scary. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Do you mean like watching horror films as a kid was a bit like being able to handle your booze?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? As an adult,
I was terrible at it. The only thing I never found, I used to think Freddy Krueger was really fucking well dressed. That's the one thing I'd say. Mm. He's so dapper.
Yeah. The stripes. And
like, stripes, fedora, nice pair of tight, like sort of like well-cut trousers.
The trousers looked like they're a bit minging though, didn't they?
Yeah, they didn't look like, they could have done with a Bob Squash, but do you know what I mean? It's like, I think he had a nice way about him. Like, you know the film Exorcist?
Do I know the film Exorcist? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I went to...
He just asked me if I know the film Exorcist, just a bit. Anyway, go on.
You ate it for breakfast one morning. I remember going out this, or sort of wanting to go out and sort of seeing this girl, and she invited me around to her house when I was about, must be at 13 or 14, I think.
Hello.
And, and I was really like head over heels for her. I really, and she was like, oh, I've got a copy, like a pirate copy of Exorcist. Like, should we watch it? You know, my mum and dad had sort of like, downstairs, we watch this. I'm like, oh yeah, cool. Let's, great. I'm shitting my pants. I'm literally fucking like, I mean, I'm gonna
fight. Before the film starts, or when as the film's on?
Yeah, I knew as soon as horror was mentioned. I was still like really into like sort of like, I had the digits when I was watching like Ninja Turtles. Remember the really dark first one when they were opening? And I was like, but I really like this girl, and it's sort of the same thing now as if you're trying to handle your liquor, right?
Yeah.
So she puts it on, and we're both sort of sitting on her bed watching it. And she went, oh, let's turn out the lights to make it more scary. And I'm like, we don't have to do that. Like, you don't have to turn off the lights. She was like, I'll be sorry. So she turns off the lights, and we sit there with the glow of this, those massive old TVs back in the day. I was genuinely hoping that the fucking video broke or something. And it starts, and it's, All right, so I close my eyes. Like, just lay there with my eyes sort of closed like that. And every time she talked to me, I sort of opened them quickly and sort of, like, talked to her back. But I couldn't watch it. But actually, what was even worse was the sound of it. Like, horror movies, the sound of them is almost like the visuals, because it's imagination. It's just, I didn't sleep, honestly, for about 2 weeks after that.
It's mad. It's like,
my mum stopped me from seeing her. It was like a sort of culture.
Oh, really?
Like, you're not going around there again. Like, my mum was really close to going, and she was like, I'm going to go around to talk to her parents. You've been having nightmares for 2 weeks. Can you imagine your mum going around to the girl that you fancy most in the world, knocking her door again? Well, my son came around there and he's shitting his pants every night. He's terrified.
He wet the bed last night. How do you feel about that? I'd appreciate if you don't tell people at school. But he did. He pissed his pants in bed.
When I say we appreciate you, I mean literally you. I don't want you telling other parents or telling other kids, because I realise this is hysterical considering my son's 13 and 6'3".
I'm really bad though, man. Because the jump scare horror films, like Scream started, like was that resurgence. Do you remember and then loads of films came out like that, where it's like loads of...
Yeah.
It's that thing of like when you're sitting in a cinema, or even when you've got the TV up at home watching it, when it goes super quiet, you know that something is about to go off, right?
Yeah.
And it's that anticipation. I just get on high alert, but I love it. I find it addictive. Like, Lisa finds it unbearable to go to the cinema with me to watch those. We'll have to do it one day, the four of us.
What do you get? I know Catherine won't go. Catherine's literally.
Oh, really? I just physically jump and scream and stuff in the cinema. Lisa finds it really embarrassing. But
what's Lisa like with, like, so Catherine can watch the opening 4 minutes of a 5 minute. I mean, 5 minutes is a push, and go, I don't really like this film. We watched Pacific. Have you seen Palm Springs yet?
No.
Oh, man.
Is that the Adam Sandberg? Sandberg.
Sandberg. Yeah, it's incredible, man. It's so good. It's such a brilliant film. Yeah. Well, I thought so. Yeah. We put it on last night, and I said, this film's brilliant. It's incredible. It's honestly, it's such a brilliant, like, it's an amazing piece of work. It's well written. It's just a, and she just honestly watched for about 5 minutes and went, you liking this? I went, yeah, it's brilliant. And then she just went, and then just looks at her phone for every now and again looks up when something. I genuinely, as a writer and an actor, I was sitting there watching it in absolute awe, thinking this is a brilliant concept.
Yeah, but the problem is, mate, is that you're the same as me. When we find a comedy we really like, right, you take it to your heart and you talk about it to people like you made it, right? Because you're so excited about it. So then I'll put something in it. Lisa and I just don't have the same taste for stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? She doesn't like anything. You know, she... Oh, here we go. What's going on?
No, I don't.
No, do you want to take? Is it business? I know. These little signs that you like to put across that things are going well. You're constantly getting business calls, work calls, another offer.
Another offer. Whenever, just as we're talking about films, it just pings up.
Yeah. Oh, coincidentally. I think that might be the confirmation I'm in Palm Springs too.
Search for Sandberg.
I'll show Lisa something, and like she'll just sort of look at me like I was involved in the conceptualizing of this whole project. Do you know what I mean? She'll sort of look at me like, oh right, yeah.
Watched some start. It's my favourite thing when you can watch a film together. King of Staten Island we watch, and we love that movie. I think there's certain stuff that you watch, and yeah, I mean, if I'm honest with you, like, this is really we've really got into Home and Away since I sort of last mentioned it.
Wow,
we've really got into it.
Do you know what? I don't know. I can't have a go at you because you know what Lisa, me, and Theo have really got into.
Go on.
Couples Come Dine With Me.
What, you've just got into that?
No, I know. But we've
salutations because you can go back and watch from the beginning.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, thank you, Tom. I accept your salutations in the spirit in which they were given. But anyway, so you've been watching Home and Away nonstop,
mate. What we do is we record them all during the week, and then on a Sunday we'll go have a bit of roast dinner, do the chores around the house, and then we'll watch Home and Away.
It really does. Yeah. I think you know if the makers of Palm Springs happen to listen to The Wolf and Owl, and I imagine the roller coaster they've just been through. But they're sitting there going, oh, my God, this guy, God, it's really high praise, for our film. God, it's amazing. Like, really great comedy actor, loves our film. Oh, no, hold on, mate. You need to listen to the next bit. Why is that? Because he talks in similar terms about Home and Away.
No, right. Home and Away is perfect drivel that you haven't really got to concentrate on. And that's what I love. Look, what I think is, this is what my medication would be for people. I think... Every week, watch 3 or 4 things that are really you're going to engage with. You're going to think this is incredible, right? You know, and then watch stuff also that is just there, just to have on that you sort of engage a little bit with. But you'd sort of like, you know, it's like when I'm Making a Murderer was out, I was engaged all the time with that. I was obsessed with it, and then I realized that I'd gone into a rabbit hole where I thought I was.
Did you double screen?
Oh mate, I was obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Double. What do you mean, episode after episode?
No, I mean, you know, double screen where you're looking at your phone while it's on.
No. My phone would be put down.
There's two types of double screen, actually, now that you've mentioned Making a Murder. Because there's the one type of double screen, which is what Catherine did when you put on Palm Springs.
Yeah. Right?
Then there's the other type of double screen that I sometimes do, where something interesting comes up, like a talking point comes up, and then I want to do a deep dive into it while I'm still watching the show. Do you know what I mean? So like something might
come... You pause the show then.
Depends. Sometimes I sort of, it depends on how far down the rabbit hole. I can't believe I'm saying these words out loud. But it depends, yeah, how into what I'm looking at.
I'm guessing then you go to the max, right?
I I got to tell you, mate, exceptionally played. Exceptionally played.
Thank you. Thank you. It was, yeah, that was my little uppercut. But yeah, man, I do you know what? That's one thing I really want to do with you is watch more stuff. I genuinely can't wait to go to the cinema together.
We are, well, that's good. I'll tell you what we should think about doing. And this is another thing that we'll plan to do for the Wolf and Owl that'll never happen. Although we are definitely doing the live shows. Those are happening.
Yeah, yeah, they're happening.
But we should do like a little live watch thing where you and me...
Oh, that'd be cool.
With the Wolf and Owl pack, we sit down and all sort of watch a programme or a film together. We should have done that.
Film would be good.
We should have done that for the Line of Duty finale, really. But okay. This is an email episode, so we need to get into...
Get stuck into the emails.
Now, this is a little bit of overlap from something we talked about on the last episode, but I do want to ask you about this, Tom. This is more for you than me. Hi, Wolf Owl and Swan. I'm sure you're aware of the recent cinematic breaking news. A newly discovered 80-year-old review of Citizen Kane has meant it's now lost its top spot on Rotten Tomatoes, being replaced by none other than Paddington 2. Therefore, Tom is officially in the greatest film of all time. Which is, of course, one of my personal favourites of you others share. Paddington 2 is, of course, amazing. We talked about it a little bit last ep. My question is this. Tom, what was it like working on this gem of a film? And this is what I like about this email, right? This guy, Ben, obviously only wants to know about Paddington 2 and then is gone because he feels sorry for the tragic little owl just sitting here reading this email. And for Rom, what have your movie on-set experiences been like? Don't bother.
You've got a great movie story.
What movie story?
Oh, mate, the story of you slapping that kid is one of the genuinely one of my favourite ever fucking stories.
But Tom, I don't think they're quite on a level, are they? Tom, have you got any great stories about your time on what's been officially rated the greatest movie of all time? I have actually. And after that, do you want to tell your story about the impossible to obtain because it's probably not in circulation anymore German movie Age of Cannibals, Ramesh? Oh yeah, I'd love to tell you that story. Where I played an Indian businessman and did a Bud Bun accent for the entire duration of my part. Yeah, okay.
The truth of the matter is, though, those films, I have better stories about those sorts of films that I've been in than Paddington 2 was genuinely an incredible thing to be involved. Like, the size of it was just mad. Like, to turn up on the first day and also the scenes that you're actually doing. Like with Paddington, which is essentially just a massive ball that's not even,
What is it? Is it a tennis ball on a stick or something?
So they do it with like a sort of sphere on a stick, which is sort of the size of Paddington's head.
Okay.
Which somehow that's something to do with like when they're doing the animation for the light. And then you do it with a little person who is the same size as Paddington. So that's for your eye line.
Right.
And then you do it to nothing. So you do it sort of like three different times. It's like genuinely an incredible process. There was one day where I had to stay late because I had to come in and do a scene so I could be Paddington's eye line. I was like, he's not even there.
Is that impossible? Not impossible. It's obviously not impossible. Does it make it a lot more difficult to actually do your lines?
Do you know this is a really pathetic thing to admit. When I was a kid, I had an imaginary friend called Tony Walsh. And I got quite used to chatting to Tony Walsh.
What did Tony Walsh look like?
Blonde hair, sort of like. He was a bit, I guess, sort of a bit like, that later on, like a bit like Dawson from Dawson's Creek kind of vibe.
Yeah,
just a cool, no, just like a cool man. He was American, so.
Just in the last week or so, I've just realised how big a fucking part Dawson's Creek has played in your upbringing. and zero awareness of that. But now that's two consecutive episodes here. The first one, you pulled it out of your ass out of basically nowhere. No connection to what was being talked about. At least here there is some sort of tenuous connection.
No, but at the time, like when Dawson's Creek, when Dawson's Creek came out, I was like, oh, fucking hell, it's Tony Walsh. When I first saw Dawson.
Oh, my God.
Because obviously it was years before, like, I was fucking, Tony was in my life.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, that's the thing. Like, so when it came to talking to Paddington, I was like, boom. I completely got the vibe. Because you're essentially talking to sort of an imaginary friend, right?
Yeah. You didn't tell people that's what you were doing, did you?
No. I didn't walk up just to Hugh Grant and Brendan Gleeson and go, guys, just so you know, like when I was a kid, I had a pretty serious imaginary friend.
Just one of them coming up to you and going, God, Tom, do you know what? It's weird because like, some of us are finding it really difficult to... to play to Paddington, but you seem to have no problems. Well, you know, I sort of channel what I used to do when I used to chat to my imaginary friend Tony Walsh. So, sort of imagine this little, Walsh.
You know, the embarrassing thing is like, Tony Walsh wasn't just my friend as well. Like, he was friends with my cousins.
Oh my God. The whole family have got it.
He used to live in America. And he'd travel over in a flying car. And even as a kid, this is how little I thought of myself, right? Sometimes he used to blow me out. He was my imaginary friend, you know what I mean? My mum would be like, you play with Tony Walsh, and I'd be like, no, he didn't bother coming around. He's obviously got something better on. It was my imagination.
Oh, God.
I could have blown Tony Walsh out. That's how little I thought of myself.
But,
you know, it was genuinely like, it was an incredible thing to be involved in. Like, you know, you sort of pinch yourself. It's a nuts thing to say, but like everything, like from the sort of like, you know, turning up on set and, you know, I'm a massive film geek, as Ramesh is, and I love my films and going to cinema and whatever was such a massive part of my childhood, and to actually be in a big budget film like that it felt pretty incredible. Like that's where you sort of take stock of what you've done in your life. It must be like you touring and you've done massive gigs, and you know, you look out and think, fucking hell, that this is where I've got. This is, you know, this is from that start as a teacher to being here. And I think that's, you know, that they're the moments I think you just got to just kind of cherish and really, really enjoy.
Okay, this next email is from Jennifer Kaywood. It says, hey,
JK.
Hey guys and Swan, thank you so much for this podcast. I really just need tips on how...
By the way, that me and you have just now been merged into guys. And Swan's got her own little bit. Wow.
I really need some tips on how to get over a relationship. I've recently just come out of a 12-year marriage and it's hurting. The ex has already found love again and can't help but thinking they're both laughing at me. My sister said the best way is to get on the dating sites. Find the process of swiping people and judging appearances so awful. Have you two ever been heartbroken, and how have you got over it? Have we ever been heartbroken? Well, let me tell you something. You are listening to two guys that could be heartbroken over people that don't even know we exist. That is the level that we're operating at. Okay.
Yeah. I've been genuinely heartbroken about people that didn't even, like, do you know what I mean? That I told years later and said, oh, yeah, I had a big crush on you. And they were like, oh my God, like, yeah, you used to live in Sutton.
Yeah. You know, like, the way that some people that I've met up with later on that I've told that I had a crush on or was trying it on, you know, trying to get into a relationship with them without them being aware at all, is they react in the same way as if they'd been told, like, maybe a zebra had taken a shine to them. Do you know what I mean? Or
you know, when you, like, you talk about that you played in a football team or you played in a, or you were at a certain party and no one knew you were even there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there with my friend Tony Walsh. But your 16th birthday. Look, number one, I'd say that it might feel like they're laughing at you. And I get that. I think that's a common thing that we all feel. I think the truth of the matter is, I think they're probably selfishly wrapped up in themselves, and I don't think they're thinking about anyone else, if I'm honest with you. And that's pretty, I think they'd be pretty callous to be laughing at you, and that'd be unfortunate. I think as well that you need to take your time when it comes to going and dating and finding someone new. I think that, I think rushing out and doing it straight away, you know, just concentrating yourself, building that sense of you, obviously it's a really traumatic and it's a really hard thing that you've just been through. And I think if you rush into things, you're never ever going to, you're always going to be sort of playing catch up with who you are from relationship to relationship. I don't really ever think you'll ever find that well-rounded thing until, you know, yeah. And it sounds a really corny thing, but you make a better relationship yourself. I think that's the sort of the core of it. I personally think, you know, I've got friends who found dating online and whatever, and obviously that's a bigger thing. It's where, you know, we're talking about, you know, coming out of a pandemic where that's probably been a bigger thing, but I sort of think, I don't know, I think it's the same, really, really callous about swiping over people without getting to know them, because you straight, you know, and I think with me and Romish have said this many a time before, I don't think there's a picture that's been ever taken of me that would have meant that it would, you know, that sort of like 3% of the people on Tinder wouldn't have swiped over. Do you know what I mean? Also, me and Romesh were very self-deprecating, so our bios would be like pathetic.
Yeah.
Trying to be funny.
Yeah.
So
looking for someone with similarly low self-esteem.
So I think the truth of the matter is concentrate on yourself and not go looking for it. I think it will come out in the time it might surprise you the most. And be the best friend to yourself you can.
I would like to echo that advice. I'd support that advice 100%. One of the things I didn't read out in the email, Tom, is that our friend here is 32. Now, look, the truth is, your ex might be in another relationship. It's not about being in a relationship. Tom's absolutely right. Just, you've come out of a 12-year relationship, right? You've got to just fucking find out who you are at this stage. You know what I mean? It's like, don't worry about any of that shit. Enjoy your life. There is no pressure. You're still so young. And even if you weren't, it still wouldn't matter. Just enjoy yourself. Have fun. And, you know, like she said here, how have you gotten over heartbreak? Heartbreak is hard, right? It is really hard. But it's also something, there's actually something positive about that. It's a healing thing. So, so I would enjoy it. Put whatever sad songs you want to put on. You know, enjoy it. Embrace it. Use it to try and help you get on. And then just don't worry about getting into another relationship. It's not all about being in a relationship.
Also, this might be mad and this might be an insight. I don't think you get over heartbreak. I think it makes you stronger. I genuinely think that it's a building block within your life that you'll learn from. You know, like anything, any sort of stuff that happens that's hard and you know, you'll learn a resilience from. And I think, like Romesh is right, to sort of, to own that heartbreak and just to sort of, yeah, I have times when I'm sort of, you know, maybe sitting on the toilet or just chilling or whatever, and my mind will wander back to sort of feeling that way. Yeah. And then I look at my life now and think how happy I am. I was 32 when I met my wife. So, do you know what I mean? It's, you know, time is here. Time is great. Make time your best mate.
Okay. It's sort of weird to reduce what was quite good advice into some sort of limerick. But anyway, listen, I hope that helps, man. Like Tom said, deal with a heartbreak. It will make you stronger. Your best relationship years are ahead of you, mate.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Next email is from Ro Leonage.
What a cool name. Wow. That's a fucking epic name.
And he says, Dear Wolf, Owl and Swan, love the pod. Good job. Like you, Rom, I'm Sri Lankan and often crack up your stories growing up so I can identify and relate. All the aunties and uncles in the cinema together to watch Indiana Jones as it's set in Sri Lanka. That aside, my question and point is this. I'm slightly older than you both, coming in at 48. Well, according to Tom, that is slightly younger than me. At what point do you stop dressing like you're in your 30s? I love buying jackets, got loads from Pretty Green, so you can picture my style of attire and musical taste. I have to wear a suit at work, brackets teacher, and try to style it out, but having just turned 48 in April, I've started to have these thoughts that I'm too old for my look. Really love to hear your thoughts, Tom and Rom, as you guys always look sharp. Take care, Ro.
You know what it is, Ro. This is what I found recently, right? Because, you know, by the way, Romesh is looking kind of sick, drippy today. He looks good. He's really fucking brought his A game today. He looks cozy.
You know what I'm not
swag.
Happy about is that this my hair drying as we.
Yeah, your hair looks incredible on Jonathan Ross the other day. And now it looks sort of a bit limp. It looks so good. It looks nice. I like the Buffon vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
It looks a bit limp now, doesn't it?
Yeah. like your gels just all gone dry and you sort of fell asleep on your hand or something.
Right, go on.
Listen, Ro, what I've just realised recently, and this is how me and Ramesh actually in our personal life, we chat, me and Ramesh actually have wasted many an hour talking about this because we have the same feeling as you of that addressing maybe a bit too young. But what I've realised, right, Ram, and this is something I've not talked to you about, is actually I think it's fading in. Like, because me and you love our trainers, we love that tops that you've got on, as you know, I love a fucking top with that kind of vibe. Mm. But then adding to it something that's a bit more of our age, do you know what I mean? So the jeans, or then you might wear a top like that, but then with a more straighter pair of trainers, right, or shoes or whatever. And then, or you might wear a more outlandish pair of trainers, but then everything else is a little bit more straight, do you know what I mean? A little bit more of its age. I think the truth of the matter, though, is, Ro, and I say this with all confidence and I say this with all acclaim, do you? It really fucking kicks my vibe and it fucking crushes my peanut when people criticize other people for what they're wearing, for dressing too young, for fucking doing this, doing it. Usually the people who are saying that are dressed in a fucking navy something, or they're dressed in a very primary color something that hasn't got any edge or hasn't got any bite to it. And the truth of the matter is, my friend, and let them do them, but do you? Like, if you feel good in something, wear it. If you enjoy wearing something, if you like your trainers or if you like your jackets or whatever you like, do it. Life is too short to be like having to feel like you've got to compromise or walk in another person's fucking, literally, like walk in another person's shoes. Like, genuinely, go forth, be you, smash your vibe. Sometimes you're going to get it wrong. But that is the hierarchy and that is the fucking, that is the kick and that is the crux of walking on that high wire, baby.
Yeah.
Some people look towards the skies and see a man on a rope flying across from building to building. Be that in the world of fashion, my friend.
It's really fucking mixed up your analogies there. It was like, went from high wire act, he talks about hierarchy completely out of context, and then a sort of a Spider-Man thing at the end. I totally agree with Tom, man. I think, like, you know, I've had things where Tom and I are both guilty of, whether guilty is the right word or not, guilty of dressing, I would say wearing stuff that's slightly maybe flamboyant, or, you know, it's got a bit of sort of, you know, patterns, all I'm thinking of is bright colours and patterns. Tom and I both wear stuff like that. And it's the sort of stuff that blokes, I am being sort of gender specific here, blokes tend to take the piss out of more often than not. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, you go down the pub, you're wearing I've got like some like camo glasses, right? If I go to the,
same.
If I go to the pub with those on, I have to clear the first hour to sort of just deal with comments about that. Are you wearing glasses? I can't see that you're wearing. It's weird. You don't look like you're wearing glasses at all. Where's Rom? Do you know where Rom? Has anyone got any idea where Rom is? I sort of have to listen,
mate,
to that.
I wore a camo shirt this week on the Redknapp show, and that was the first, yeah. Where's Tom? Is he not here?
Yeah. So that is what ends up putting you off or whatever. But like Tom said, Tom's catchphrase of do you totally applies here. If you're comfortable with it, if you feel good, I'd much rather see somebody like you dressing a bit out there and actually making a decision about how he looks, rather than people that just end up sort of falling into this fucking uniform of wearing the same shit they've been wearing for years and years. You're terrified of colours. You're terrified of anything that's even cut differently. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, I would back up Tom now.
I would shout out as well for women's fashion, because I tell you what, you look at the different levels that the ladies take it, different, the trousers, you know, the cuts of the trousers, the different kind of trousers, tops. Like, if you go into a men's designer store and you look at a women's route and then look at the men's, if you're lucky, they'll be black, navy and white. And the women's is an all array of colours. In the world, guys, and this is going to, I'm going to go out on this. This not, you know, there'll be another email.
We're not finished yet.
Yeah, right. In the world, guys, remember one thing. Don't be vanilla ice cream. Vanilla ice cream is the shittest of all the ice creams. Try and be a better flavour.
What would you say is a better flavour?
Mint choc chip.
Okay.
Bubble gum.
Yeah.
Banana.
Yeah.
Banana and chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter.
Yeah.
Crunchy.
Yeah.
Even strawberries are better flavour than vanilla. Don't be vanilla, guys.
Yeah, don't be vanilla.
You know how many people go up to like a gelato machine and say, oh, can I have a vanilla, please? Buttheads.
Okay, that's not a number.
Right.
Oh, God. Okay. Do you know we started off quite serious on this? I was actually conscious that we started quite serious on this podcast. And we've got kind of... We've got kind of quite silly.
I think I like Ro's vibe, man. I really like him. I really hope he turns up to one of the live gigs that we're going to do.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Ro, if you do turn up to the live gigs, mate, I can't wait to see what you wear. Genuinely, I was saying it now, shouting you out, Ro.
Shout out to Ro. But also, just for context, he also did shout out women's fashion, that much neglected area. Okay. This email is from Ellie. She's put brackets, giraffe.
Wow. Well, giving herself a name.
Big up the giraffe. Big up the giraffe. Wolf, Owl and Swan. Hope you've all had a great week. Rom, this is mainly for you, as I know how much you love a Tango Ice Blast. Tom, you'll see this isn't mainly for me shortly. I was recently on a staycation in Dorset and came across an ice cream stall selling Calippo slushies. Slushies.
What?
A few questions. Would you try... Now, Tom, you're obviously a Tango Ice Blast fan as well, so this is applicable to you.
It's only because very much so.
I've talked openly about my desire to have a Tango Ice Blast machine in my house. A few questions. Would you try these, or do you stick strictly to Tango? What do you think of a Calippo? Would this come top three in a nice treat at the seaside? If not, what is your top three? Here we go. The giraffe has predicted your top three here. Your top three, yeah.
Okay.
So she's gone, I guarantee in Tom's top three, there'll be a double cone, flake, chocolate sauce, and nuts. It's not sort of items, it's more sort of ingredients, I guess. But
yeah, they're not really ice creams. Look, Ellie, you want to shout out, Ellie, giraffe, thank you very much. I will say this, though. Couldn't have been more wrong when it comes to my ice cream tastes. I'm afraid to say. Number one.
So you don't have a cone?
No, and I'm going to go through it now in some sort of detail. But Calippo-wise, yes, I would without a doubt try the Calippo slush. If I'm honest with you, I'd love a Calippo on a hot day.
But Calippo, I have Calippo because I can't have any dairy, right? But it's not, if I was able to have dairy, there's no fucking way I'd even look at a Calippo.
Ramesh, if you're a sweet, sweet kid. You're such a sweet boy, right? I don't want to talk down to you at this point, but the truth of the matter is a Calippo is a nice starter or a finisher after a strong, strong ice cream. Like to really, I think it's a real, it's a cleanser on the palate, I always find. It really hydrates you. It's beautiful. But no, a Calippo is not even getting into my top 400 of like what I'm having if I get to an ice cream van or a gelato store. Okay. Right, I just want to level with that. Okay. I don't want you getting confused.
Yeah, right. I'm not confused. You just have to say, I just said Calippo's nowhere near the top three. And you've gone, oh, you sweet, sweet fucking arsehole. Like, and basically agreed with me.
Right, just to be clear, though, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay, fine.
My first thing, if I see an ice cream van and I got that fucking taste in my mouth that I want an ice cream, first thing I'm going over and I'm saying is, do you do oyster shells?
Sure.
Now, that's do you know what an oyster is?
Okay, Tom, I'm vegan. Okay, I'm not an alien. I know what a fucking oyster is.
No, ice cream oyster, not a
real
oyster.
I know what it is. Yeah. With the marshmallow in the bottom of the thing. You know what's most insulting about that? Is after I've told you I've known, you fucking acted like, oh no, he's just making it up to sound like cool. He doesn't know what an oyster is. And then to I don't mean a real oyster. Oh, you don't mean a real oyster when we're talking about ice cream? Oh, that's so mad. Oh, I assumed you were talking about a real fucking oyster.
No, I just know you can get confused with this kind of thing sometimes. Right. So first thing up is I'm asking for an oyster, yo.
Yeah.
If he hasn't got those or she hasn't got those or they haven't got them, I then say, have you got any screwballs? Screwballs was always the next thing I go to. But I'm talking about screwballs have been cheaper than the last few years. You need loads of nice sauce on there. You need a decent sized screwball.
Yeah.
Right? Like that sort of hand cup, right?
That sort of hand cup for everyone listening. Tom's held his hands up.
At the bottom, I want at least three bits of bubble gum. Okay?
Okay.
And then I can walk around with the bubble gum. I have one or two bits in my mouth at any time. Okay. Right.
That at is, any that's time. You make it sound thing. Like you're sort of alternating them, like you're a juggler.
Right. If The said ice cream valet hasn't got any of those. I then turn to them and say, have you got any, and you know, the like Cornetto corn, the really nice cornet corns, cones.
Cones, yeah.
Yeah, the Cornetto, really fucking,
yeah, with the waffle cone you're talking about.
Waffle cones.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, have you got any waffle cones? Yeah. In that waffle cone, I will have usually a bit of chocolate ice cream. I'll always go with a mint choc chip because it's refreshing. On top of that, I will sometimes have a little bit of rum and raisin or something that, you know, that's a little bit out there, a little bit different. Then I'll probably have two flakes in it.
I just don't know what Catherine goes through on a day-to-day basis.
But I'll then turn around to the guy if he hasn't got any of those three, and I'll say, I'm sorry. I appreciate what you're doing in the world of ice creams, but number one, you need to get better ice creams. Number two, I'm going to find another ice cream van. And then I'll leave and walk off.
So he'll go.
If he hasn't got it.
Do you really expect me to believe that if you ask for rum and raisin and mint choc chip and a waffle cone and he hasn't got it, you genuinely expect me to believe that you will leave without making a purchase? You really think I believe that?
No, that's probably where I'd buy a Calippo. I'd say, to give us a Calippo, I'm going to find another. I'll walk down the seafront and find another ice cream van. Like the ice cream man now who comes around by me, he has all of my favourites. So I change it up a bit. Do you know, actually, on the set of King Gary, we got an ice cream van, but we had to do it on a day that you weren't there because you might feel jealous.
That's not why you did it. You just did it because you don't give a shit about me. That's why.
No, I actually had sorbets for all the vegans, by the way, and they all said what a lovely touch that was.
Yeah, but you did. But okay, but that makes it more, even more insulting that you did it when I wasn't on a day I wasn't there.
Oh my god.
Okay, look, we're out of time here.
Wow, what a joy. What a joy.
I'm going to be honest with you. How do you think I think that episode was good. I'm not that happy with how I was on that episode, to be honest with you. Is it?
Well, I enjoyed you. I thought you were very sweet.
No, but
very
you know what?
Honestly,
the bit stuff at the beginning, I don't know. I feel like I was
stuff at the beginning?
You know, when we were talking about COVID deniers, I feel like I was a bit aggressive. But
well, yeah, listen, JT, if you think it's aggressive, cut it out. If not, I think you should play it out to some sort of sweet, sweet music. Maybe pick a tune wrong. I always pick the tunes.
Could we have a lot of sort of an aggressive hip-hop tune? When I do that little rant about COVID deniers, can we put sort of Anti Up underneath it or something like that? That'd be great.
Wow. Well, you really want to fucking go for it. You really want to fucking alienate those fucking
deniers. I really want them gone.
Listen, guys.
Let me be clear. If you're a denier, you're a denier. I'm happy to have deniers, listen. I'm talking about aggressive deniers, okay?
Yeah.
All right. If you are currently listening to The Wolf for Now and you are an angry COVID denier, fuck the fuck off. Okay, go and listen to something else, you fucking piece of shit. Anyway, I just wanted to get that off my chest.
I think you stated that perfectly. I think it was cool. Don't beat yourself up. Go and have a Calippo.
All right, thanks, mate.
Lick a Calippo. Actually, you know what? Did we get anything else on the takeaway stuff? Still nothing. I mean, I'm hoping that we're going to get besmirched by them this weekend.
Okay, can I tell you, I'm glad you brought this up because I got a delivery last night and I bottled it.
Well, I'm going to do it this weekend.
Me too.
I'm not going to bottle it, okay?
All right. Okay, so next week, guys, on Wednesday's episode, Tom and I are giving you the Wolf and Owl promise.
Of how to deal with delivery drivers.
It's going to be sick.
Okay.
All right. See you next time, guys. Love you.
Love you, guys.
Bye.
Peace.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.